From the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, and Illinois Public Media, welcome back to Weather Realness, a weekly podcast about the science behind weather and climate in Illinois. I'm your host, Maddie Stover, a doctoral student in physics here at the U of I.
And I'm Trent Ford, state climatologist with the Prairie Research Institute.
The University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, through the Department of Nuclear Plasma and Radiological Engineering, is in the process of applying for a license to construct and operate a new research nuclear microreactor on campus. To talk about this new reactor, we are joined by Caleb Brooks, professor in the Department of Nuclear Plasma and Radiological Engineering at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, and director of the Illinois Microreactor Demonstration Project. Thank you for joining us, Caleb.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Caleb, what do you do as the director of the Illinois Microreactor Demonstration Project?
Broadly, we look at ways to expand safe, peaceful uses of nuclear power. Some of the ways we do that is we look at the reactor systems themselves and how to improve the safety of those systems or the efficiency of those systems. And in the case of the microreactor demonstration project, there we're looking at the ways in which microreactors, which is somewhat of a new classification of nuclear technology, ways in which these new microreactors can do just that, expand safe, peaceful uses of nuclear power.
And, you know, Caleb, how'd you get interested in, I guess, in nuclear physics and engineering kind of generally, but then this project more specifically?
I had a bit of a roundabout way of getting into nuclear, but once I was in nuclear, I was certainly captivated by the tremendous power associated with nuclear energy, and then really believing that there's a lot of potential uses of nuclear energy that currently isn't tapped. And so those early interests, I think, led nicely eventually to this project, where we really look to take this growing new area of nuclear power and microreactors and focus them towards markets that currently have been overlooked by nuclear energy because of the ways in which we've previously designed, built, and operated nuclear reactor systems.
Can you kind of walk us through what a microreactor is and how that's different from other nuclear reactors?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, traditional grid scale electrical power generation from nuclear is what most people are familiar with. So like Clinton Power Station just down the road from us and the other nuclear reactors in the state of Illinois being the largest nuclear power producing state in the country. All of those reactors are what I would say is grid scale power or very large centralized power generation stations that are meant to kind of feed electrons to the grid to provide a stable grid network for homes and businesses. So then there's the emergence of probably about 25 years ago or so, the emergence of a new class called small modular reactors. So if the grid scale power generation stations are kind of on the order of thousands of megawatts, small modular reactors are kind of more like hundreds of megawatts. And the driving force behind small modular reactors was to really to try to improve some of the challenges that we're seeing in the construction of the larger power plants. So the larger power plants were plagued with a lot of cost overruns and schedule delays due to it basically everything needing to be done on site. So small modular reactors was an attempt is an attempt to move more things to the factory, kind of make things a little bit more standardized, a little bit more streamlined construction, but still in most cases, small modular reactors are being looked to feed the grid with electricity, with some exceptions, but those are still in the 100 megawatt class. Those are still largely for electricity generation. And then microreactors is a term that really is only about 10 years old, maybe even less than 10 years old now, where that's now in like tens of megawatts and less. So with microreactors, it's much less about supplying electricity to the grid, although that might happen in some places. Microreactors are more for delivering kind of clean, reliable power to like directly to end users, whether that's a data center or that's a chemical plant that might need high temperature process heat. It could be a military base, it could be a college campus.
Yeah, and so if you could clarify, because we understand that there may be one of these reactors built here on campus at the U of I. If so, would it be the SMR more the modular reactor, the micro reactor, and irrespective of where would it be located? Kind of where would it be at?
So our project is focused on deploying, I'd say deploying a commercializable microreactor as an advanced research reactor. So in the US, there's been a long history of college campuses deploying what's called a research reactor. We had a research reactor on our campus here in Urbana-Champaign for that operated safely in the heart of our campus for almost 40 years. And many campuses around the country also had research reactors. There's still 25 university research reactors that are operating, and they serve an important mission to study fundamental nuclear science and do education necessary to build out a workforce. The challenge there, though, is that those reactors have largely been around since the early 60s. But the nuclear industry is evolving. Really, this shift from those larger grid scale power generation stations to SMRs and then microreactors is really demanding a new workforce. It's demanding a new class of research reactors that can start to solve some of the opportunities that are facing, the nuclear industry of today. So, as we move forward, the plan is to site that microreactor very close to Abbott Power Plant. So Abbott Power Plant is a hybrid coal natural gas power plant that's owned and operated by the university. So the university is a pretty large energy user, and it owns and operates its own power generation through Abbott and through solar farms and some low-grade geothermal and other assets, but also owns its own transmission infrastructure, as well as district heating, district cooling infrastructure. So by locating it close to Abbott Power Plant, what we can do is we can demonstrate the ability of these new microreactor systems to directly integrate with existing power infrastructure to show the way in which we can decarbonize existing fossil fuel installations, which I think could be a really nice demonstration for areas where we might see microreactors be early adopters of these microreactors.
You're listening to Weather Realness, the weekly podcast about climate and weather. We're talking about plans for a micronuclear reactor on the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign campus. We are joined by Caleb Brooks, professor in the Department of Nuclear, Plasma, and Radiological Engineering at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. So how much of the campus, campus's energy use would the reactor power?
The reactor will have a capacity of up to 45 megawatts of thermal energy, which, if only used for electricity, that would be a little over 15 megawatts of electricity. But in our case, the steam produced off of the reactor would feed the main steam header of Abbott Power Plant. And from there, that steam is used through a series of turbines to both produce electricity and provide the steam needed for the campus. So in general, the campus requires something like 55 megawatts of electricity and another 50 or so megawatts of steam in general. So we're not doing, we're not providing all of the energy needed for campus, but we're demonstrating the ability for these new technologies to make a significant dent in the decarbonization needs of a campus like University of Illinois.
So of those 50 megawatts of steam power, you guys would be providing around like 15?
It's a little bit more of a complicated calculation than that. I'd say in general, you would take the 45 megawatt thermal capacity and you'd say, well, that can probably almost all be used for steam if needed. But in order to improve efficiency, you extract electricity as a byproduct of the process. So I would suspect that if you operated in the current campus infrastructure, around 45 megawatt thermal would turn into 5 or 6 megawatts of electricity, and then you would be dispatching, quite a bit of electricity. Maybe something like 20 megawatts of steam could be used for the district heating.
So another purpose of this microreactor is, nuclear research and physics research. What kind of research and questions is the reactor going to be used for?
Yeah, it's important to highlight that, this is a research reactor. The purpose of it is not directly or primarily to decarbonize campus. That's an important research project within the deployment, is to demonstrate the ability to decarbonize. What we really want to look at is all of the aspects of the technology that can now be reimagined because of this decision to go with a small reactor unit. So the current nuclear industry is really entrenched in that large centralized power generation model of nuclear power. And that really governs the way they are operated, the way they're refueled, the way they're instrumented. Really, all aspects of nuclear have, to some degree, been influenced by this economy of scale approach, bigger is better type of philosophy, which has really kind of hurt the ability to deploy new reactor systems. So in our case, by deploying, again, a commercializable microreactor technology, we have the opportunity to really rethink all of the traditional status quo around nuclear. So the way that it's instrumented, the way that they're operated, the way they're maintained, the way ultimately they're refueled or decommissioned, all of these things have huge opportunities to improve upon the way that the nuclear industry currently does things. So
Yeah, so what's the project timeline? When would you expect the microreactor to be up and running?
yeah, so we have a long way to go. So a lot of stars still to align, as I'm sure your listeners can imagine. A nuclear project doesn't happen quickly. There's a lot of very strict regulations and processes that have to go be followed before the Nuclear Regulatory Commission would approve such a project. So we are in the kind of final stages of preparation of what's called our construction permit application. So the construction permit application is really the first application that gets submitted to NRC in the process. So we've submitted a lot of things to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Those things mostly talk about what is the technology, what does our site look like. It talks about kind of way in which we might use it, or kind of sets some of the terminology, but that's all just called pre-application engagement. In Q1 of 2026, we hope to submit our construction permit application. Now that goes under review, formal review by the NRC for what we're expecting to be about 18-month review. After that, if successful, they grant a construction permit. So that would allow us to begin site preparation and construction of the unit. During that time of construction, we have to submit another application. That's the operating license application. That's another 18-month or so review that has to go through before we can have any nuclear fuel on site. So, best case scenario, we're about 2 years out from beginning construction. And if stars continue to align, we could potentially be operational towards the end of 2029.
Touching base again on the decarbonization aspect of this project, and this ties into the research as well. But in some other interviews, you've talked about how the reactor could make clean hydrogen and help decarbonize other sectors aside from the electric grid. What is clean hydrogen, and what sort of other sectors are you kind of researching that this could help decarbonize?
So hydrogen is a potential fuel source that has a lot of benefits. We see, I think the example most close to the listeners here around University of Illinois is MTD has several buses that are fueled with hydrogen. So it's a clean fuel source so long as you have a clean way to generate hydrogen. And so in most cases, hydrogen is actually made through methane. Steam methane reforming is one major way that hydrogen is produced. There's several different production avenues, but with nuclear, you can use, again, clean, so carbon-free power source and nuclear to basically break apart water molecules to produce that kind of clean hydrogen. So there's been a lot of interest around demonstrating a hydrogen economy for transportation and for other potential processes. Not only hydrogen, but also a very similar process to come up with ammonia, which is obviously an important fertilizer for a state like Illinois. So there's a lot of these processes that require a lot of high temperature process heat in order to drive the chemical process needed to produce the molecules, produce the products of interest, whether it's hydrogen or ammonia or other things like that.
I think about the Clinton Power Plant, which is the closest to us here in central Illinois, and thinking about putting by Abbott Power Plant, like you said, miles of fencing. And oh, by the way, it also needs a lake now, which I'm not against having a lake in Champaign-Urbana. That'd be kind of nice. But can you talk a little bit more about some of the safety advantages and also maybe some of the water use advantages or the cooling advantages of a microreactor versus like a larger system?
Yeah, this system will look remarkably different from Clinton Power Station and the infrastructure needed around Clinton Power Station. So at a traditional nuclear reactor site, the sites that most people are familiar with in nuclear, these are typically 3,000 megawatt thermal types of generation. Now we're talking about 45 megawatt thermal, so orders of magnitude less power. And from a safety perspective, the fundamental challenge with nuclear is that when you want the reactor to turn off, it doesn't completely turn off. This is true of all reactor systems, and it's based on the physics of what's happening to generate that. It's based on the fission reaction. So in the case of a traditional power station, when you say, okay, I no longer want to generate power, you put control rods in, and the power is going to automatically drop to 7% of its original operating power. So 7% of 3,000 megawatts is still a tremendous amount of energy. That's why you have to have a lot of additional systems that are constantly providing active cooling to the reactor system in order to remove that 7% of 3,000 megawatts. Now, if you decide to operate your reactor at lower power, at 45 megawatt thermal, now when you shut down your reactor, you're going to go to 7% of that 45 megawatts. Now, this is a much more manageable amount of energy, and it's an amount of energy that we can actually deal with without any active systems, without pumps and backup water supply and all of these things. We can just utilize natural conductive and convective processes to allow that energy to kind of radiate out away from the reactor core into the surrounding structures, mitigating any challenge of some over temperature type of event. So by going smaller, you automatically and naturally improve your safety case.
Well, that's all we have time for. Thank you so much for your time, Caleb. Appreciate it.
Thank you all. Happy to be here.
Caleb Brooks is a professor in the Department of Nuclear, Plasma, and Radiological Engineering at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and the director of the Illinois Microreactor Demonstration Project. You're listening to Weather Realness, the podcast about weather and climate. I'm Maddie Stover.
And I'm Trent Ford.
If you have a weather or climate question you want us to tackle, leave us a voicemail at 217-333-2141 or email weatherrealness@illinois.edu. Weather Realness is produced by
Jeff Frame,
Trent Ford,
Steve Nesbitt,
Reginald Hardwick,
and myself, Maddie Stover. Funding for this podcast is partially provided by the Backlund Charitable Trust. Weather Realness is produced by the Department of Climate, Meteorology, and Atmospheric Sciences at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and Illinois Public Media. We'll talk with you again next week.